and welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we are continuing along our Friday the 13th journey with Part 5, A New Beginning, and Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6. All of these movies are currently streaming on Amazon Prime and Hulu. Please feel free to watch along with us. Tweet us your thoughts, feelings, emotions, what have you. But before we start, let's jump into a segment we call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer that we'll be discussing is Escape from Cannibal Farm, which is a UK film written and directed by Charlie Steeds. It's a 2017 release with no official date for US release quite yet. What did you think of that trailer, Carly?
I liked it. It reminded me of like a mix of Wolf Creek and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And yeah. I liked both of those films. So I would see this.
It looks a lot like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
For real.
Yes.
I was like, oh, so it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
With cows.
New generation.
Oh, God. With Matthew McConaughey.
The remake of A New Generation.
Oh, I hope he makes a cameo.
Why is his chainsaw on a physical chain?
I don't know.
Chained to something.
They took it real literal. But I would still see it.
Yeah, I'll see it too. It looks brutal.
I feel like it's a like straight to VOD movie.
It should be, right?
I thought
it looked that way too. We'll see. I don't know.
Do you know if it came out in other countries? You don't have to look it up. I just didn't know because it looks like a foreign movie maybe.
Well, it's a UK movie.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
From the UK.
So
British.
So I didn't know if it was like out there already.
Oh yeah, you know, I don't know anyone that's seen it. But I don't know if there, I'm sure there's been screeners of it, probably.
Yeah, I'd see it.
Hopefully, we'll hear more about that soon. There's no release date as of right now.
And then if you get a chance and you keep letting the trailer play, the next trailer is Clown Town.
Which scared Carly, apparently, very much.
It did. I was setting up as it was playing in the background and I switched back and I just saw this terrifying clown and I don't like clowns. So I think that Clown Town would scare the shit out of me.
Are you a clown phobe? I didn't know that.
I don't like them. They're not my favorite. Okay. I'm not like, it's not like that terrible that like I can't, like I love Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like I like scary movies with clowns in them, but like these clowns looked real weird and I wasn't okay. It was weird. I might sit down and actually watch it, but I haven't. I can't really say anything about that.
Well, maybe we have to do a trailer trash talk for Clown Town next week.
Awesome. Let's put it on the schedule.
We'll see when it's coming out because I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Okay, so I don't really know. I guess it looks fine. I'll check out Escape from Cannibal Farm. There's a family on vacation in a trailer, and they run into a murderous person with a mask on. And a chainsaw. It feels very Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's definitely like a Wolf Creek element where the family's on vacation.
And they're like camping and the dad's like telling creepy stories around the campfire.
Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's cool. It's cool.
It's not original, but
it's not. It doesn't look original.
It looks fun. I'd see
Although
it.
Although a cannibal farm is a terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying thing to think about.
Which is kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They were basically on a cannibal farm.
That's true. It's just a highly effective title.
It is. Agreed.
The title is very frightening.
100% agree.
There's lots of crawling. They really are trying to escape from cannibal farm.
Yeah, they don't want to be there, and I don't blame them.
No, they didn't want a vacation at cannibal farm.
Mm-mm. Well, it's not on the plan. It's not on the agenda.
No. I don't know what happened. Okay, so let's jump into it. Let's start with Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning from 1985. This movie is directed by Danny Steinman. Other credits include a hardcore porn film called High Rise.
Heyo!
He also wrote The Unseen, which is a horror movie that I'd never heard of, and Savage Streets, which is an action movie I've never heard of. He was in talks to direct Last House on the Left, a sequel to Last House on the Left, But that fell through. I guess he got in a bike accident and that fell through. So interesting story there, I guess. The screenplay for this film was written by Martin Kittrosser, who wrote Part 3 and has writing credit for Part 4, and David Cohen. It's like the easiest
name. We're getting really literal here.
who wrote Hollywood Zap and The Treasure. Didn't hear of those movies either. So a whole lot of nothing with this group. Unless you're a giant high-rise fan, which is totally possible. What did you think of Part 5, Carly?
They keep getting more random and more random.
It's by far my least favorite.
I absolutely agree with you. It was just so bizarre. I didn't really like, I mean, I got it, but it just wasn't a hit. I wasn't into it.
I had to stop it in the middle and take a break because it just wasn't ending. And which is strange because it's only an hour and a half long. Like, it's not that long of a movie.
Is it really only an hour and a half?
Yes.
I felt like that movie went on for days.
Forever. It never ended. I didn't just finish it. I'm just being an asshole. It was terrible. It was
really bad. It like, it started out and I was like on board. Like I was like, oh, like I can get down with this beginning. Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then it was a dream and then I was bummed out about it. And then it just went downhill from there. You go to this like, not a mental institution, but it's like this like farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, which we learn later is somewhere important. But then you've got like all these weird personalities and the guy, like, is this the first murder that we've had that wasn't done by a Voorhees, right? In this movie?
Yeah, it is.
And it was so random and like, there wasn't really any point to it.
No, not at all. How about we get started talking about just the beginning sequence, which is Corey Feldman back for his 5 more minutes of movie time. Apparently he was supposed to be in the film full on, but he was doing Goonies, so he was unable to.
Good job, Corey. You and your mom made the right choice here.
Way to go. You're a genius. So Corey Feldman Tommy, is hiding in the bushes and sees these two guys come up and start digging up Jason's grave, which... we're going to have a lot of discussions about Jason gravesites because I have very many questions about how he keeps getting gravestones. But
right?
Who yeah, keeps I don't, burying I don't him? Know who keeps burying him. Just burn the bastard.
Seriously.
So anyway, these two numbskulls for some reason decide that they're going to dig up his grave, and Corey Feldman's hiding in the bushes, and then Jason comes out and kills everybody. But then adult Tommy wakes up. So that was a dream? That didn't happen?
Right.
That's a dream he had.
That was a dream.
Because Tommy is now crazy.
Yeah.
And is going into a halfway house for crazies who are going to be pushed out into the world.
Yep. Great.
Which, I'm not really sure I understood why there were the people that were at this halfway house.
They were just like camp counselors, but they just didn't include the kids in this episode or in this whatever.
Well, it's just weird because they didn't seem to have, like, some of them just seemed fine. Like, what's wrong with the couple that we see having sex all the time? Are they just sex addicts? Was that their thing?
I guess.
Well, and if that's the case, then why are they just allowed to continue to run off and have sex every 5 seconds? There's no therapy happening is really my point. There's no actual therapy happening in this therapy campground.
There's nothing about this that seems to be having these kids work towards being, you know, productive members of society. It just seems like they're here and they're having sex and chopping wood and getting into shenanigans. And it's just, it's so bizarre.
Dancing.
Terrorizing the locals.
This movie was so weird. Wait. Okay, so what's going on with these hillbillies? Because
they needed someone on a motorcycle, apparently, and they put this, like, I don't know. Like, is that, was that like other kid mentally challenged, or is he just like a hillbilly?
I don't think he's mentally challenged. I think he's just obnoxious.
He's so obnoxious. But like, he doesn't make any sense. Like, he's definitely, I don't know. Like, this movie was so bizarre in so many weird, stereotypical ways. Like, even for the time period. Because what's, like, mid-80s, like, 85, right? You said?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 85.
So, like, I don't know. Like, this movie just made zero sense to me.
It really made no sense. So, my main part, these hillbillies. The mother is obviously wearing some type of terrible wig. They're filthy. They're disgusting. They look like they're covered in, like, oil and grease and dirt and garbage. And all she does is make stew all day. Like, she's always making stew.
Hello, stereotypes.
She's constantly making stew.
And that's not real.
No, so I don't understand what's going on with her hair. Or her dirtiness, or the stew. I'm very confused by all of it. And the son just repeats everything she says, like, the whole movie. And screams.
Yeah.
The best part of the movie was when he dies.
I agree. I was like, finally.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. Good job, Jason. High five.
I don't understand these characters. I don't really. Like, this movie just makes me shake my head.
It was,
yeah. We should also preface this by saying there's no Jason in this movie. This is known as the Friday the 13th without Jason. And I miss him. I miss him so much.
Yeah. I really just did not enjoy this, like, any aspect of this movie.
So there's a killer on the loose, and he looks like Jason, kind of. His mask is similar, but it has blue-gray stripes instead of red stripes by the nose. So we know it's not really Jason. And then we think that it's Tommy. And then we think that it's this other guy. And then we think that he's back for somehow Jason's back. You know, like, there's so many, like, and the ending just makes absolutely no sense.
None.
Like, at all. Like, and it doesn't make sense. It has three different endings, and none of them make sense.
This is the worst.
My favorite part of the movie is Reggie, because I was a big Family Matters fan, and he is Weasel from Family Matters. And it just made me so happy when I'm like, look, it's Weasel, and he's so little.
He's a tiny guy.
Excited. He's great. He's great in this movie.
He is.
He was supposed to be in the next one, too, but they decided not to put him in it. Makes me kind of sad because I loved him. He was definitely my favorite part of this movie. Him and his brother, whose name is Demon, by the way. Not Damon. Demon. His brother's name is Demon.
That's amazing.
As in demons.
That's amazing.
Why would you name him that? That trailer is so hilarious.
They're just setting the precedent.
I love it. He's got, like, that his sexy girlfriend, and they're just, like, hanging out. He's offering them pizza and whatever, like, food he has laying around.
So sad that they just die.
I really liked Reggie and Demon's, so weird to say Demon. Reggie and Demon's relationship, because they were really cute. Like,
they were really cute.
They were very cute. That relationship was really sweet. So there was a good relationship that they actually wrote into the script. Right?
Yeah.
And Violet's dance, that was also a highlight of this film. It really, really rivals Crispin Glover's dance in the previous film.
Oh, I don't know.
It definitely doesn't win, but it's a second place worthy effort.
Okay, I'll allow it.
I mean, it's the most undevoted pop lock routine I've ever seen in my life. It's so non-committal. It's a less committal pop lock routine than Kip from Napoleon Dynamite.
So, total side note that has nothing to do with horror movies, but I just watched the episode of Gilmore Girls where Lorelai picks the movie for the town to watch and then screens What's His Face's movie. Yeah, Kurt's movie before, and that just made me think of his dancing in his short film.
Isn't that such a good episode?
Holy cow. Okay.
Kirk is a master dancer.
Yeah, holy cow.
Little Gilmore Girls interlude for you guys.
Just bringing it full circle.
Full circle. Say it every time we talk about Gilmore Girls. Full circle. Full any circle. Way we can fit it in.
Horror integration.
There was dancing in both of these things.
Exactly. And it made me laugh both times. Go Violet. Go Kurt.
I really like the Violet gothy type character.
Yeah.
She is hilarious.
Again, like super stereotypical. I mean, I guess all these movies are.
They all are. But at least it's like kind of amusing.
The Hillbillies like, one is just kind of like roll your eyes though.
It's really roll your eyes. This whole movie is pretty roll your eyes.
Yeah.
So there's a sex scene in this movie that's so short. It's the shortest sex scene I think I've ever seen in a movie. But I looked it up and there's a reason why it's so short. Because our dear director of this film did porn in the past. And he decided to make a 3-minute softcore sex scene in the middle of this movie. And the MPAA was like, no. They were like, no, you cannot have a 10-minute long softcore sex scene in the middle of this movie. Sorry, 3 minutes, not 10 minutes.
Oh, good.
So they made him edit it down to 10 seconds. So it seems like they had sex for like literally 10 seconds.
And it's over.
It's over so quick.
Oh
my
god. My
favorite is after they have sex, he's like, I'm gonna go wash up. Like the second they're done. Like he doesn't even lay down or anything. He just gets right up and says he's gonna, like, how gross are you right now? How disgusting do you think your girl is that you have to run to the lake after you have sex and quote unquote wash up? Which it looked like he was just throwing rocks into the lake to me, but I guess there was some washing up happening.
He just didn't want to stick around.
Yeah.
He wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
He was over it in 10 seconds.
It really was. Well, the funny thing is I wrote down that was a really weird sex scene. And then I looked up at later and it was like supposed to be 3 minutes long.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
That's what happens when you have a porn director write a horror movie. They can't help themselves.
Well, this whole movie is what happens when that happens, I guess.
And the teacher that was in that sex scene had trouble finding teaching jobs after.
Because
she has big jugs and she was in a sex scene in a horror movie.
Poor gal. Change your name.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Don't do that.
Dye
own
your
it.
Hair.
Own it.
Own it. Own it and just don't work.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get in another movie.
There you go.
I really hate this movie.
Yeah, there's really nothing interesting about it or fun or...
No.
It was just kind of like...
The kills are really boring.
Yeah.
They're really recycled. There's no gore. There's nothing to, like, make up for this lack of everything. There's no Jason. There's no real story that makes sense to you. There's a bunch of characters, and then they die. But they're not even dying, like... The kills are so tame. Like, there's hardly even any blood. I know that's a weird, like, complaint, but... In a movie that needs to rely on that, like, I'm really missing Tom Savini in this mm-hmm. movie. Like, come back, Tom Savini. What's happening? I'm so bored. I'm so bored with this lack of gore and shitty story.
Yeah. And I feel like they tried to make it interesting with, like, changing up the killer and it being a copycat and, you know, Joey was Rory's son and after seeing... The kill just adopted his, you know, whatever identity to kill everybody and nope.
And it's weird. Well, and like I said in the last episode, it really felt like Corey Feldman now was possessed by Jason's spirit or something in the end of the last movie. So
but then they pick it up in a totally
different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. But then they try to flip it again. I don't know. Like, it just...
And then we have Tommy again in the next movie.
Yeah. Which I loved, by the way.
But I liked the next movie, too.
We can get to that. Okay, so let's talk about the ending a little bit, then. Since there's not much to talk about for the middle sequence. But at the end, when... Okay, so you find out the killer is the guy who drove the ambulance. They have this big reveal. You kill Jason, his mask comes off, and it's like a face that's like, dun, 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 except you have no idea who that person is
yeah.
at all. oh, it's that guy you saw at the beginning of the movie for 2 seconds. Remember yeah. that guy? Oh, no? Well, you're supposed to, and yeah. he's the killer.
Aren't you surprised? Didn't we do a real good job writing this?
It's almost as good as the reveal. Dun, dun, dun. Mrs. Voorhees, except yeah. you've never seen this woman or heard of this woman in your entire life.
I'm okay with that one. That's okay to me. That doesn't bother me as much.
They made up this story that makes that you've never even heard of. But the,
yeah.
That he was the kid that died's father. And how would he even know that? Okay, so I guess we do need to talk about him. What's his name? Joey.
Joey. Yep.
Joey is special and needs a lot of attention and is annoying everybody at the home.
Yes.
And this was by far the best kill in the movie, where a mean dude who's chopping firewood ends up just straight up slaughtering him in the middle of the yard. So this is why I thought, oh, Jason's spirit is now in this guy. Like, I thought it was Fallen. Like, I thought last
year. You were
last
still episode, on that. Yeah.
I still thought, okay, well, if if grown-up Corey Feldman knew Tommy had Jason's spirit, and then he gave it to this guy, and then this guy killed Joey, then the spirit's going to go into the ambulance guy, and the ambulance guy's going to kill someone, and then, you know, that's kind of how I thought it was going. Mm-hmm. And then it stopped doing that in the middle of the movie, and I was like, oh, I was wrong. That would have been, I think, maybe even better.
Yeah. I think it would have been more cohesive. Yeah.
It would have been more cohesive, and then somehow Jason could have gotten back into his body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would have been interesting. This was not, to me.
No.
But yeah, that I will say, though, that one kill scene where he kills Joey was, I was straight up surprised by that. And I thought, oh, maybe this movie won't be bad. And then it was.
And then it was awful.
Okay, so let's talk about that ending then. Did we talk about the ending? We already talked about it. But I'm confused. I'm confused by it. Let's continue talking about it. Sorry.
So, I mean, I had to look it up because I also didn't really understand what was going on. But it's like, don't even get it.
So the ambulance driver realized that the kid that Joey died, and he also realized that he is also his son. And so he gets upset and starts going around killing people who might be connected to it. Like, I don't really understand why he started killing people and how he realized Joey was his son so quickly. Did he know Joey was living there? Or, because they said they don't know who his parents are or something.
So I think, I don't know if Roy, right? Roy's the ambulance guy?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay. Well, ambulance guy, who's the dad of Joey.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Apparently.
So aggressive, somehow. Angry guy kills Joey. Yes. And the ambulance people come. And then the one is kind of an asshole and is, like, making a joke while he's, like, pulling back the thing. And other guy, who is, I'm assuming Roy, got very, like, upset about it.
Yeah.
And so maybe he didn't know that his son was there, or he, like, maybe put him there for, like, safekeeping. And then, like, obviously he's very affected by seeing Joey's death, and then just, like, decides to kill everyone.
Yeah, what was with that other ambulance driver? He was such a dick.
I know, I don't know.
He was like, everyone, look at this dead body that is a person you knew.
Like, I was like, that's not funny.
And then called them, like, wimps or something. I was yeah. like, what? If that was someone you knew, you wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. No, it was really bizarre. And, like, it would have made more sense if maybe everybody else was, like, also being assholes. And if they were also like, oh, yeah, haha. But, like, everybody else was, like, really upset about it. And, yeah. like, this is not okay. And so it makes no sense that, like, guy's in custody, guy's getting arrested, but Joey's dad is still going to get pissed and kill everyone.
Yeah, no, there's literally no reason for it, and it's very confusing to me why that's happening.
Yes.
But, okay, so that's the first part of the confusing ending. So you learn who's the killer, and then Tommy's in his hospital room, and he's seeing visions of Jason, and he sees visions of Jason throughout the whole movie because he's haunted by him. Like, mm-hmm. it's in his head, is mm-hmm. what you're supposed to think. He's taking medicine, and then Jason goes away. So he's in the hospital room. He doesn't have his medicine. And he sees Jason. And he opens up a drawer and then has a Jason mask. Fakes his own death. Then the girl comes in. And he's standing there with a knife. Like, I don't understand this ending. Like, what were they going for here? That now he's going to be a killer? Were they setting it up so now Tommy's the new Jason? Like, his visions got to him. Jason somehow won, and now he's a killer. Which, it's just, it's hard for me to grasp, because Tommy seems like such a decent person. Like, he's, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
So, it looks like, so she goes to his room.
Yeah.
He wakes up and stabs her, right? And then Tommy
wakes up
to hit the hallucination of Jason, right?
Yeah.
And so then it's like, oh, he's faced his fears, according to what I've read. And so Jason, the hallucinations just disappear.
And then he puts on a Jason mask?
Yeah. And then
what?
Pam comes in.
Right.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, he just comes in from behind the door wearing the mask and having, like, he has a knife, right?
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense.
I think they just, like, needed an ending.
They did.
And then they went a totally another direction, like, the next movie as well.
100%. It's really horrible. I had a really hard time getting through it. Not my favorite by far. An interesting way that they made this movie, they had a what they called an 8-minute rule formula, which is to deliver a shock or a kill every 7 to 8 minutes. So typically what they'll do is they'll introduce a new character and kill them 3 to 4 minutes later, which makes sense because this movie is so formulaic. It's like so predictable, and the kills are so boring, and there's just, we got so excited and interested in the last movie about how Jason kills people and how he's starting to get creative, and it's just starting to get interesting, and then they throw out this piece of garbage that goes backwards in a way in terms of scares and gore, and the story goes backwards too. I mean, the story in 4 is way more interesting than the story in 5.
Agreed.
So I give this movie a big...
I second that.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Good one. Wait, is there any other notes I had? I have some trivia. The girl who, the teacher that almost lost her job in real life for having the sex scene, her real name in real life is Debbie Sue Voorhees.
Oh, that's fun.
In real life, she's a Voorhees.
She is a Voorhees.
So I thought that was really exciting.
That's it.
I already said my other trivia. I'm good. Okay, our next movie that we'll be discussing is Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6, from 1986. This one is written and directed by Tom McLaughlin. He wrote the Friday the 13th video game that's coming out this up-and-coming year. And he has many writing and directing credits, but I haven't heard of most of them. Most notably, I guess, would be some of the Friday the 13th TV episodes, which I never have seen any of the Friday the 13th TV shows.
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched a full one, but I know that they always, there's that like TV show, like channel on, I think it's called Slasher or something like that on like DirecTV. And I know that they show them on there all the time.
They
frequently have marathons of that TV show, but I've never actually watched it.
Now is that like each episode is a different story? Or
no, I have no idea. No,
I just didn't know if it was like a cohesive storyline. Anyway, jumping ahead. I really enjoyed this movie. This might be my favorite Friday the 13th movie we've watched so far.
I really liked this movie too. I'm trying to think if that I like any of the others, but it'd probably be like either one or two, maybe two.
Yeah.
But I like this one too. I guess, so in this one, I guess the original plan was to make Tommy the killer. I guess that's where maybe the ending of the last one would have followed through with this one, but like the fans got pissed, and so they decided to bring Jason back, which I'm so happy that they did.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they brought Jason back. I think they realized, okay, so Friday the 13th Part 5 made like a ridiculous amount of money, but people didn't like it. Like, people just kept going to see it. So when they made this movie, they're like, okay, let's just bring back Jason. Like, people didn't like it when we didn't have Jason in it.
Thank God.
And it still didn't do as well. 6 still didn't do as well as 5 because the fans were probably already pissed.
They were pissed off.
They were already pissed and they were untrusting and you fucked it up, dude. 5 fucked it all up. So from now on, the films start diminishing in sales at the box office.
It was the first film to receive good reviews since the original one.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Cool.
I think that it's a great movie. It's got everything that I feel like this franchise has been lacking so far. So I'm into it. There's definitely some like cheesy, stupid character things, but for the most part, it's pretty fun. The gore is really pumped up. The kills, there's like 18 kills in this movie, which is the most so far in any Friday the 13th movie. So they're really going for it. So how do you feel about this resurrection of Jason that starts out in the movie? Tommy goes to this graveyard, says he needs to have his closure on the Jason segment of his life.
Which, by the way, I prefer this Tommy to last. I keep calling them episodes. It's not an episode, it's a movie. Last movie's Jason or Tommy.
Yeah, I agree. I knew what you meant, girl.
Thank you. We all got you.
No, like, I agree. Old Tommy decided he was too religious for this series. He didn't want to be in the next movie, so
Thank you, old Tommy.
to become a preacher or do some film-based faith-based films moving forward in his career. I think that worked out well for him.
I do too.
Good choice. I like new Tommy also. He's great.
He is. So I liked the resurrection because it really kind of brings in that supernatural feel. Like, I know that he comes back like technically via like electricity or whatever, but like Jason is really otherworldly and he always kind of is. Like, obviously he can't die, he keeps coming back, he's this like, you know, entity kind of. And so I'm happy that this film finally realizes that, and this is kind of where they like just start to run with the ball.
Yeah, it has a real like Frankenstein feel to it.
Yeah,
like, definitely, like resurrection through electricity is obviously very Frankensteinish, and he has a more mechanical walk now, and he's very like almost robotic, Terminator-esque perhaps in his walking and his movements. So you do kind of get like more of a monster feel from him now.
That's always been my favorite in like horror movies. Like, I like the slow walkers, like the menacing, like, I'm coming to get you and you're running, but I'm still going to catch you, rather than like the frantic kind of like scream real people, like running around and stumbling over things and being kind of clumsy. Like, I like the huge, you're going to die. It doesn't matter how fast you run.
I'm so sure of myself that I'm just going to slowly walk behind you.
Yes.
You know, that's like what you do when your kid is going crazy. Like, you slowly walk behind them as they run all over the place.
like I'm gonna catch up to you, buddy.
five of your steps is like one of mine, so.
Yeah.
So I really liked how they resurrected him, but I really don't understand. So this is my only thing I can't stand, is I don't understand why he's buried all the time. Like, why isn't Jason cremated? Who's paying for all these tombstones? Someone paid for Pamela Voorhees' tombstone in Part 3.
They have a wealthy uncle in Boston. I don't know.
Someone is paying for these. And I mean, if you're a masked killer, I would think you would be cremated and never heard of again.
I think so too.
Again.
Yeah.
But I guess if there's someone in your family that really wants to take care of you, they can. We just don't know who this person is. Some mystery person keeps burying these horrible killers.
Yeah, but, it's very interesting.
Whatever you want to do, man. All right. So we got cops in this movie. Cops, this is the first movie where the police play a big role.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Mr. Sheriff?
He's fine. Like, he's fine. He's, like, I guess, believable, like, I just am dealing with the facts kind of guy. And he has the daughter that's running around and hitting on Tommy. She's a really weird character.
She's really into Tommy. Like, she, like, immediately. She knows nothing about him, and she's in love.
She wants him.
She really wants the D.
So, yeah, like, I get his, like, hesitations with Tommy, and I totally understand where it's coming from, but, like, he's definitely, like, the hard-ass sheriff.
I don't understand how when they come in saying that there's people missing, they aren't worried at all. Like, even a little bit.
That's true.
And it's a small town, and they're like, we have better things to do than chase after missing people. It's like, no, you don't. You don't have better things to do. That's what you do. That's your main job, is to go find people that aren't there anymore. If people don't show up, how hard is it for you to drive down a street just to see where they are?
Yeah.
Like, that was so unbelievable to me. And they never seemed worried about it. The only people that seem worried about it are the kids at the camp. And they're, like, running a camp without head camp leaders because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're not there because they're dead.
This movie was kind of like, there were so many different elements because you had, like, the kids at the camp. You had the police. And, like, the sheriff and his daughter and the weird guy with the laser gun. And then you had the people on the work retreat playing paintball. There was, like, a lot of, like, really weird different, like...
I loved the paintball thing, by the way. I absolutely loved that part of the movie so, so much. I mostly just want to keep playing that part over and over again. It's so great. I love that premise. Because at first I was like... Oh, they're playing paintball. And then I'm like, oh, Amy, no one played paintball in the 80s. What do I know what people did in the 80s? And then I'm like, oh, they're actually hunting. And then I'm like, no, they're playing paintball. And I got really excited. And then...
And the girl's kicking everybody's ass. The girl and the nerdy guy.
She is. And that one guy gets real mad and says she belongs in the kitchen.
Yeah. I was like, I thought about you while I was watching this scene because I was like... Oh, man.
I did not like that.
Amy's going to love this.
I did not like that part. I also didn't like the part where the sheriff is talking to the guy with holes in his jeans and like, doesn't your mother own a sewing kit? Like, fuck you. His mom's job isn't to sew up his pants. Sew up your own fucking pants.
Oh, man.
I started numbering the sexist references and then I ran out of numbers.
There were quite a few.
There was quite a few. But no, the paintball thing was great. So, so great. And there was some really great kills there. He got three people at once with just one swipe of his machete.
I know, which he stole. Didn't he steal that from the other guy? He, like, got all of his equipment.
By the way, who goes paintballing with a fucking real machete?
That guy.
Like, how is that allowed? How is it like, we're going to go into the woods and play paintball, and here's your machete to knock down brush.
Just in case. Just in case you need it.
Oh my god. I was laughing so hard because he's so mad and he's hitting brush with a machete.
I think I rewinded it because I was like, did I miss something? Is there a reason this guy has a machete that I like wasn't paying attention to?
Yeah, because he's crazy and somehow he can have a machete when he's playing paintball.
I guess.
Like, a paintball gun and a machete, that seems like a lot to hold. Machetes aren't light. I don't know if you've ever held a machete. They are not light objects to carry around with you. And it's not easy to swing one with one hand, at least not for me. People are always acting in these movies like they're so light and, like, throwing them around like it's a toy. But it's, like, they're actually, like, it's metal. Like, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's got weight to it.
I don't know. Maybe that guy's been... pumping iron.
Yeah, maybe he's like buffer than he looks.
Yeah.
He looks pretty scrawny to me.
To plan for the company paintball trip.
The music during the paintball scene is also super comical. It feels like I'm watching a Troop Beverly Hills or something. Like it's like a quirky military march. I I was like laughing. I was gleeful about it. I don't know why I loved it so much.
So great.
It was so out of place, but I liked it. I love how they were scared. Like Jason was coming at that guy and he just shot him with a paintball. Like that's going to do anything. Jason's confused. He's like, what are you doing, bro? Like real bullets don't even do shit. What are you doing? Do we need to talk about creepy graveyard guy?
Who's like an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Then we can. I don't know. He drinks. He's got his vodka. I'm assuming it's vodka. I guess it's vodka or gin. A clear liquor.
It's a clear liquor.
Maybe it's moonshine.
Maybe a white rum.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps white rum. He likes a little sugar in the morning.
I loved his kill. How he threw the empty vodka container behind him. Mm-hmm. Jason catches it so he doesn't hear it fall. He turns around, smashed it, and then kills him with it. It's pretty rad. The kills in this movie are really good.
Yeah. I liked the couple in the bug. And I think it was a bug. I don't know.
Yeah. Right? That was a really great way to show Jason starting up again.
Yeah.
Just standing in the road. So confident. But it
felt so bad for that girl. Because, like, she knew. Yeah. She had the right idea. She just wanted to get out of there. And her dumb boyfriend was like, just scare him.
Yeah. Nope.
I'd have been like, or we can go in the huge pothole. Or we can go around the huge pothole.
Yeah. She would have been they would have been totally fine if they just turned around. But, yeah.
But then Jason did his sneak around. I don't want your money, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm going to go behind you and stab you.
Oh, so good.
So good.
So good.
That's kind of what, like, when I saw that, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I like it. This one's the best.
It is. So far, it's my favorite, by far. So, I also liked how the camp counselors were relatively intelligent for the most part. They didn't do anything wrong. They got killed, but they didn't really do anything wrong. I liked they're like, okay, well, it's nighttime. There's kids here. Let's go to sleep. And in the morning, if the owners aren't here, then we'll send the kids home. Like that's what most people would do, right? Yeah,
that's logical.
That's logical. I like how they kind of try to explain it and talk about it a little bit. They don't just ignore it like they would have done in a lot of the other movies where they set things up and then ignore it. Let's talk about Court a little bit. Court, who's our main guy with the holes in his jeans.
He in other things?
He looks so familiar.
I'm going to look him up.
Okay. Because I was thinking that too. I was like, he kind of looks like the guy from 4.
21 Jump Street. Summer Camp Nightmare. That might be where I've seen him.
I've never seen that. So, Court and his girlfriend, date, something, are in an RV. And they are having the most
hilarious sex.
Weird sexual encounter I've ever seen. It's so strange. There's like this pop song on and they're dancing. Dance sex.
She's dancing. He looks like he's holding on for dear life.
It's so weird. It's very strange sex scene. I don't think I've seen anything like it in a movie in my life. Or in real life, for that matter.
And he's just like, 10 more minutes. Yeah, oh my god.
How is that song 10 minutes long?
That's what I was wondering too. I was like, I call bullshit. What song is 10 minutes long?
I don't even think Stairway to Heaven is that long.
I don't either.
Maybe if it was like a Fish song, I could understand. Like a jam band.
But it wasn't. It was like 80s.
It was like 80s pop. Those songs are like 2-3 minutes long tops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she like made her own edit.
She like extended it herself.
Yes.
It plays on loop for 10 minutes.
That's so funny. But this was fun. I liked this. I liked like he, you know, disconnected the power. Mm-hmm. And then he was sneaky and they like went out and he snuck onto the RV.
Yep.
He planned it. He was so smart, that Jason.
He went in the bathroom, waited for her to get close. Mm-hmm. Although I love how Court is driving the RV. And he is just, she's flying all over the place.
He's like, what are you doing back there? Woo!
He's having so much fun listening to Alice Cooper.
Yep.
Teenage Frankenstein.
Yep. So appropriate.
Loved it.
Well great, done.
Great song choice.
Well done, music selector.
Yes. And yeah. And then he gets it too. They all get it.
Everyone poor guy.
Gets it in the end.
Poor Court.
Also, there's a sign that you see at some point when the car's driving through, and it says speeding, and it has a question mark before the word speeding and after. And that's what the sign says.
Interesting. I missed that.
I don't think that's a real traffic sign.
No,
I'm just going to go out on a limb. I didn't do any research. I didn't do any hard research there, but that doesn't seem like an actual sign.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay. I also like how Tommy gets a bunch. He takes a break. He takes a book break.
Mm-hmm.
He finds an all-night bookstore and buys himself some books.
I wish that was a thing.
The books he buys. Yeah, in this small town, there's an all-night bookstore.
There's a 24-hour bookstore.
With a large selection of books titled things such as 30 Years Among the Dead, The Dead Are Alive, and A Manual of Occultism.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if any shop was going to be open in the wee hours of the evening, it would be an occult bookshop.
I mean, that's a fair point, Carly. I mean, I'll have to agree with you there. But however, how is that a possibility in this small town?
I got nothing.
Also, he's reading these books, but nothing comes of it. Like, I don't understand why that has to be a thing at all. Like, it's not like he gets an idea.
No, he's just like, he's back.
Unless that's how he comes up with the chain rock lake idea, but I don't know how a manual of the occultism would give you that idea. The only way to get rid of a Frankenstein-like monster
is to trap him at the bottom of is a to lake.
Get a large rock, a chain, and get him at the bottom of a lake. That's what it literally says in that manual, I bet. That's how we got the idea, you guys.
I think you're right.
I cracked the code. I figured it out. Don't worry about it.
God, you're so smart.
I know. Thank you for noticing.
You're welcome.
Okay,
so then they find Court and Nikki's bodies. Can't speak, apparently. Nikki, right? That's the... That's the chick's name. We're going with it. So they find some of...
You mean
they
Megan?
Find bodies. Hmm?
Do you mean Megan?
The girl that Court's having sex with.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Continue.
So after that whole bit, they find some bodies.
Yeah.
And the sheriff immediately is like, this is Tommy. We have to arrest him immediately.
Yeah, no proof needed.
No.
The cop knows what's happening without any proof whatsoever. He's a psychic cop.
Yep.
It's gonna have his own TV show called yep. Psychic Cop.
And then Tommy calls the sheriff's office, like the sheriff's department, right? And he's like, I gotta get them on my side. But then Megan answers the phone. And then they team up he convinces her somehow. Well, he doesn't really have to do much convincing. She's just really excited that he called.
Yeah, he's very reluctant. He's very reluctant to let her help. But she kind of forces him into it. Yeah.
And so do they go back to...
No, they go out, they get in her car, and they have a joyride and get caught by her daddy.
That's okay, yeah.
And then they get sent to jail.
I was like, I know that they come back to the sheriff's department.
Then they pull some kind of crazy... There's some shenanigans that go down where they make out through the bars in the jail, and the cop tries to stop them, and then they lock him up. They show
Deputy
him a thing
gets emotional.
Take that, laser gun cop. I don't really understand the point of the laser pointer gun when you're
maybe only... it was like new technology at the time.
Right, but I would think that the reason to use that would be like if you have to shoot someone that's really far away. Every time he uses it, it's like someone's right in front of him. Like you can't tell that you're aiming your gun at someone's head when they're like a foot away from you.
Maybe it was like a new company and they like sponsored the movie or something. They're like, but you got to put this gun in there.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird, but it's still kind of funny, I guess. So yeah, there is a weird part where Tommy's in a phone booth and the phone booth's all smashed up, but I don't know why. Is that something I missed?
I don't know why either. That's when he goes to call Megan before they meet up. I don't think he encounters Jason at that point.
I'm wondering if it's from, like, a previous movie, though. They just never, like, fixed it. But I can't remember.
I can't either. Let us know, people.
And maybe it was just a cutscene then and we missed it. We missed something.
Also possible.
Okay.
So then, I mean, during all this other stuff, which is, like, the main goings-on, we also kind of cut back and forth to the camp, and we see how they fare, and a couple more people die. The other girl that's with the main camp counselor?
Yeah.
Right? She dies.
Yep.
And there's another sneak attack.
Luckily, there are no children or hamsters killed in this movie. They kept showing hamsters, and I kept thinking the hamsters were going to die. I was like, if a hamster dies, I'm out. Like, I can't do this
again. Jason doesn't really kill children.
Or animals so much.
Or animals so much.
I guess he killed the bunnies in the third one.
Shh.
Are you shushing me?
Shh.
No, but why did they keep showing hamsters? Then there's no reason for it. The only reason they showed hamsters was to get me worried that they're going to kill hamsters.
Maybe to make people nervous.
There's literally no other reason for it. They don't show them with the kids playing with them or the kids spending time with the hamsters or the hamsters doing anything other than just close-ups of hamsters and then showing something else.
It was just to make you nervous.
It was just very strange. It was a strange choice. I'm not going to lie. Didn't really understand that. This movie is very bloody. After Tommy kills one of the camp counselors and they find her, they just go in this room and it's just like covered in blood. Looks like she was dragged all over this room.
Mm-hmm.
Very horrifying. I loved it.
All the camp counselors die, right?
Well, except for Megan. Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I, because she, okay. So then,
but none of the kids die.
Yeah, none of the kids die because the little girl who saw the boogeyman before, when he goes into her and she, like, closes her eyes and starts praying, he leaves and she opens her eyes and they're totally fine.
I feel like Jason doesn't kill the children because he remembers being a kid.
I think so too.
But I think that he also is smart in that he uses them as distractions.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go in and scare them so they start screaming to get someone to come and check on them. So he knows where everyone is. It's really smart. I noticed he was doing that towards the end. He like kept showing up and kids would scream and then someone would show up there.
He's a smart demon.
He is. Is he a demon?
I don't know.
Is that what you think?
See, I guess he'd technically be like a zombie, right?
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Javi yesterday. I had a Christmas party. And he loves Friday the 13th so much and loves Jason. And he even had a Jason Christmas sweater on. I was very impressed by him.
Ooh, your sweater looked amazing, by the way.
Thank you. And his wife, Abby, who's amazing, she was wearing a Krampus sweater. Just saying, they're very cool. So he was saying that he thinks that he has always thought of Jason as a zombie, which I thought was interesting because I've never thought of Jason as a zombie ever. I thought of him more as like a killing machine, a revenge machine, because zombies are usually very clumsy and boring.
I mean, I guess technically he is kind of a zombie because he's like undead.
He keeps coming back from the dead. But I should ask him if he thinks that he was always a zombie as of, like, the end of the first movie.
Oh, I don't think so.
Because
question.
I like to think that Jason never drowned and he just lived in the woods.
I think so, too. That's what I always thought. I always thought he was a real person. I mean, I guess that's kind of hard because at the end of two, he gets the machete in the neck, right? Which, like, no normal person would really be able to withstand a machete. Right, especially where their heart is.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a point where he starts to become a zombie-esque in that way, where he keeps, like, coming back from the dead. But I don't know that I think he was always a zombie.
I don't think he was, because he's very human in
the first
two and three. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Four is when he comes back for the first time. So that's the movie where I feel like if he was a zombie, four would be it.
Yeah.
But then if he is a zombie, how come he dies at the end of four and then needs to be resurrected for six? I mean, being resurrected makes me feel like you're more of a monster than a zombie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It doesn't really matter.
I guess I just kind of always, he's like a supernatural kind of entity a little bit. He's like a little human, a little not.
Human, he's monster, zombie thing.
He's a teenage Frankenstein.
He's a Jason. I think he's a teenage Frankenstein. Although Frankenstein is not, never mind. he's not the doctor. He's Frankenstein's monster.
That's true.
Get over that. I really thought it was funny when the camp counselors told the kids to get under the beds. They, like, leapt onto the floor. Like, it was so comical. I don't know whose choice that was, but it was such a weird one.
Jason's like, sneak attacks come from below. Get on the floor.
Everyone get on the floor. But they're, like, leaping onto the floor. Like I've never seen anyone, like, get to the ground like that. They didn't
The direction
drop.
Was get onto the floor enthusiastically.
They didn't just, like, drop down like a normal person was. They like put their arms out and leapt down. Like that had to have hurt. Hopefully they put something down on the ground for those poor children.
They were doing it for the art.
Oh my god, that was commitment. It's really
so then we come to they get out, Tommy and Megan get out of the jail cell. Yes. Tommy gets out. And then they go back to the camp. And Tommy is starting to set up his trap, and he's wrapping a boulder with chain.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Well, what else would you wrap it with?
Exactly. No to hold choices. To hold this beast.
Yep.
This beast of a fellow.
Yep.
Okay. So they have like this huge attack where like he's luring Jason into the water. He goes out onto like in the boat and. So, like, that whole shuffle happens. He finally, you know, gets the chain around him and, like, brings him down and whatever. Tommy ends up drowning a little bit. And Megan's first reaction is to, like, just swim out there and get him.
Which I thought was idiotic.
Yeah, she's known this guy for 5 minutes, first of all. Second of all, I don't know about you, but, like, if I knew that Jason was under the water, like, I would maybe go out to like get whoever was out there, but I would sure as hell like kind of stay perpendicular with the water. I don't think I would like put my feet all the way down
into
the water.
She was very trusting that Jason was dead at that point.
Yeah.
Which I guess she wouldn't necessarily know that he just keeps coming back.
But like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like my weird, like, I love the ocean and water more than anything, but I'm always like a little apprehensive of what's down there, even when I go out there.
Especially in a lake. Especially in a lake.
Yeah.
Like an ocean, whatever. But in a lake, fuck no.
Yeah.
There's like eels and shit. And like,
yeah.
Ugh.
I would be very hesitant and I would try to stay as like towards the surface as possible.
Well, he grabs her. He grabs her ankle.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. She puts it right in his face. What else is he going to do?
She's like, hey, here are my toes.
You want to smell them?
Yeah. And, like, Tommy would have been dead.
Yeah, but she did save his life, so that was very nice. And we got to see her use a speedboat engine to, like, get his Jason's face all gross and bloody, and there's like all this like skin and stuff popping up. So such a great scene. I love that.
Yeah, so worth it.
They
in
filmed
the long
some
run.
Of that. They filmed some of that in the director's parents' pool, by the way.
That's awesome.
I know. Thought that was really cool. I really liked. This is the very first Friday the 13th ending that I like, where I'm, like, on board with the ending. The ending makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not left with any questions. I know exactly what's going on. The next film is set up in a way that you can't mess it up. Like, it's 100% perfect, this ending. And I'm so happy they finally figured out how to make a Friday the 13th ending. Holy shit, it took long
enough. They got it.
Jesus, stop trying to set up shit and ignoring it. I'm so glad, like, and I've seen part 7. I realized it at the end of 6 when I'm like, oh, I see how I saw the movie where he got out of this somehow. So I remember that one.
Nice. I don't remember it at all.
Oh, there's a death in that one that's just so good.
I'm excited now.
You will be. It's very awesome. but I don't know. I really, really liked 6. It's by far my favorite. Favorite of the whole franchise so far. Even better than Jason X, and I love Jason X.
Oh my god, Jason X is amazing.
We were talking on Twitter yesterday about Jason X.
I was like, I wish it was streaming somewhere, so...
When it is, we will do it. The second it is, you guys, we will do it. But we're gonna have to take a break after 8. I just can't. We can't keep going. We're not a Friday the 13th podcast. It's starting to go away. Although I definitely feel like I understand the franchise a lot more, which is great. Mm-hmm.
And important.
Very important. Okay, so just a few Easter eggs that I found from this movie. The character, Sheriff Garris, is named after Mick Garris, who's the director of Critters 2 and The Stand. He also wrote, later, Hocus Pocus.
Wonderful. Oh!
Also, Karloff's general, Boris Karloff.
Yes!
Universal Frankenstein. You know. That's a nice little homage there.
That is. I love it.
They also mention a town called Carpenter, which is obviously named after John Carpenter.
Yep.
And then also my favorite Easter egg is Sissy, one of the camp counselors, is wearing a jersey that says Baker on the back of it, the name Baker, named after Angela Baker of Sleepaway Camp.
That's really cool. That's great.
I love it. Way to go. Definitely got me more energized about watching the last two that we're going to do because...
We needed. We needed a boost.
Yeah, after 5, I was like, fuck, I really don't want to do this anymore.
I'm over it.
I posted something on Twitter and I was like, oh, this movie is making me want to stab my own eyes out with a machete. Like, I just can't. I can't with this anymore. Let's talk about what's going on with us.
I had a big week this week in movies.
You watched so many movies.
I did.
I'm really proud of you. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
So in addition to these two movies, on Monday, I saw La La Land. And
was it so good? I want to see it.
Totally loved it. And Steve loved it too. And we want to see it again. So that's really exciting. It was that good. Lots of feelings.
And Ryan
the music
Gosling.
Was really good. Ryan Gosling being a babe. John Legend being John Legend.
Love John Legend.
Yeah. Everything. This movie was amazing. Visually, it was beautiful. It was really cool because obviously it was filmed in LA. So there's a lot of like LA references, which was nice. The music is awesome. Really great story. It's by the guy that did Whiplash, that wrote and directed Whiplash. Mm-hmm. Really phenomenal. Love this movie. Then what else? Thursday. What did I do on Thursday? Oh, Star Wars. Saw Star Wars Rogue One.
Which I heard is amazing also.
Amazing. Completely amazing. I had my doubts. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Did you like the one before this?
Like episode 7?
Yeah. I like that
I really liked it. This one's different in that it literally takes place right before episode 4, A New Hope.
Okay.
And so they say, like, even when the title card comes up, it's just Rogue One. It's not like Star Wars Rogue One. It's part of the Star Wars galaxy, but it's like definitely a Star Wars story. And they definitely do a great job of like having the story happen, but like with like, you know, little nods here and there, but it's definitely its own thing, which is like super awesome. I don't want to say anything because if you love Star Wars, just go see it. You'll get it. It's amazing. I was really excited
now,
about it.
As someone who has seen most of the Star Wars movies, but isn't that knowledgeable about details of the story, will I be lost?
No.
Okay.
You will, because you've seen episode 4, The New Hope, the first movie technically that came out.
Oh, yeah, I have. It's
with
like
Luke
a prequel.
And Leia and Han. Yeah.
Got you. Okay.
So it takes place between the prequels and...
And the original.
The original trilogy.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, yes, you will... You will be
good.
On board because it's enough of its own story where, you know, it is its own story. It's not even enough of its own story. It is its own story. And it's like, it's done superbly. Like if they keep on making movies like this, Star Wars fans will be very happy. Regular, like not Star Wars fans will be really happy. It's a really entertaining movie with a really good story.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then you also got to see the autopsy of Jane Doe. So I'm really upset with you because I've been wanting to see that movie.
I saw The Autopsy of Jane Doe on Friday with Emile Hirsch, who is adorable and funny, and he's great. And he's great in this movie. This movie was amazing. I will warn you about some animal stuff.
Oh.
That happens.
Okay.
That I had a little panic attack about, but I was with like new people that like this is our first time hanging out. And so I had to be like really good about it. And so I was just kind of sitting there like breathing, like, just calm down. It's fine. It's fine. It's just a movie. You're going to make it through it.
That's weird because, the dudes from the horror business saw it and said it was amazing. And I don't think that they mentioned anything about weird animal stuff because they have a hard time with that.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much.
You don't have to.
It's not like.
Drop it. Don't give away okay. anything. I'll be upset.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just like really sensitive to like even just seeing like hurt animals.
Right.
So, for me, like I, you know, had to like, whatever, have my moment and get over it.
I hear you.
But, you know, who knows if different people are sensitive to different things.
That's true.
But it's, yeah, it was funny. It was scary. It was really creepy. The chemistry between the characters was awesome. I really liked this movie and I'm really, really excited to see it again.
I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited to see it.
You'll have to see it. Let me know when you do, and I'll revisit it, and then we can talk about it.
I would love that. I would really love that.
Cool.
It's definitely on my to-watch list.
Yeah. It's so good. And the director guy, who's awesome, Scandinavian name, I can't remember.
I know.
Or probably pronounce, but he did Troll Hunter as well.
Yes. Is it like his last name's Overdahl or something?
Yeah, it's Overdahl. I can't remember his first name. But Emile Hirsch was saying how like he was so dedicated to this movie and how he was just like, this movie is my last name. Like this movie is like, people are going to talk about this movie. Like I really need everything to be perfect. Mm. And, it was really funny because I guess when Emile was reading like the script for it, like on the first page, it like said something about, there not being a lot of like blood and gore because it's a very like, you know, mental movie and like whatever. And then he was like, and then we got on set and he's like having us like blood everywhere. And like, he's like, I don't think that the director read the first page of the script because he definitely kind of took it his own way.
Yeah. Which Andre really Overdahl, cool. by the way.
Thank you. I was like, I can't. Why do I remember the most complicated part of his name? but yes, it's very amazing. Cool.
Well, I'm jealous. You got to see a lot of really great movies lately, and you have a lot of interesting events coming up also.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just enjoying the holiday season and watching whatever I can when I can. I haven't even gotten to watch much Westworld or anything. I haven't really been watching a lot of TV. I tried watching a newer episode of The Exorcist, and I was bored, and I turned it off.
Really? It gets good. I don't know. I really liked... I think I didn't see the finale of it, because I feel like the episode that's right before the finale felt very finale-esque, and so I didn't realize it until a bunch of my friends... had posted about, like, they showed it at one of the theaters downtown, and they were like, we just saw, like, the whatever. And
there was, like, a whole panel. I watched an episode and thought it was the finale, and then I was on Hulu, and it said there's a new episode, and then a week later it said there's two new episodes. I'm like, how am I two episodes behind when I watched what I thought was the last episode? Like, I don't know what the last episode you saw was.
I think it was the one, I don't want to like say.
No, I know. Just say it, I'll edit out.
Okay. The last episode that I watched was basically the one where they like. Yeah. Reagan.
Yeah. And that's what I saw too, and I thought that was the last one.
Yeah.
And there's two episodes after that.
Interesting.
So I tried watching the next one, and I was like, snooze fest.
Hmm.
So bored. And then, I don't know. Just maybe I'm just falling off of it. This is what happens to me in horror TV shows. I get disinterested. The story's just...
Yeah, it's not the same as just like, hey, you need to entertain me for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's kind of exhausting. Like, I don't know. I haven't found a horror TV show that's I've stuck with.
Did you watch Dead of Summer?
No.
Okay, so it's really cheesy, and it's very... I don't want to say Friday the 13th-esque, because the only real Friday the 13th thing that really happens is that it takes place at a camp. But it, like, takes place in a camp in the 80s, and the dude from Candyman is in it, Candyman. And it's just fun. It's not, like, really scary, and it's definitely kind of, like, focused more towards, like, teens and preteens. But it's just, like, a really fun... cheesy, like, I watch it, like, I have it on when I do laundry, but it was on over the summer.
Oh, all right, well, maybe I'll check that out. What's it on? Is it on anything I can watch it?
It's on Freeform, so it'll be on Hulu.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then definitely check out Darknet.
I haven't been able to find it.
What, really? It Netflix.
Oh, okay, I'll find it. Okay. All right, is there anything else we want to discuss today?
That is, oh, I saw The Shining last night at Cinespia.
You're really annoying.
It was really cool. They had, like, their whole holiday stuff. But it was really interesting to me because the people that were there, it's just, like, I always thought of The Shining as being, like, particularly, like, scary and weird and, like, mm-hmm. all, like, a lot of story, and then all of a sudden just, like, all the shit happens at once. And, like, it came to my attention last night that people think it's a lot funnier than, like, I kind of found it. Because there was, like, a lot of people, like, laughing throughout of all of it, and I thought it was really interesting. It's always interesting in, like, situations like that where I'm like, are you just really drunk, and, like, this is a holiday thing, and Jack Nicholson maybe is making funny faces. But, like, I don't know. It was really interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know why anyone would laugh during that movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty frightening. But, okay. Yeah. I guess maybe you see something enough, like, you find humor in it. But I don't know. I don't know that I laugh at that movie very much. Except for
me either.
At Wendy running around like a little waif all over the place.
Poor Wendy.
Okay. Well, next week, guys, we will be taking a Friday the 13th break. How lovely. And we will be doing a very special holiday episode for you. Very, very special. Gremlins. We're going to do Gremlins. 1974 Black Christmas.
Yes.
Not the new one, the old one.
Yes.
Because those are two of our favorite Christmas horror movies. We're also going to be doing two movies we've never seen before. Silent Night, Deadly Night, which is a favorite of many people. And also we'll be watching Netflix's new released film, A Christmas Horror Story, which you can watch on Netflix. That's the only one streaming. Sorry, guys. But I got Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 and 2 for like $2 on half.com. So if you're really interested in watching us along with it, you can just go ahead and order it. It's not expensive. So a very special episode for you guys next week. I'm excited, but it's going to be crazy to do four movies. So we'll just be briefly talking about all of these. So
yeah,
we can probably
keep it going, and keep it interesting.
But it'll be fun to do. I'm excited to do it. 'Tis the season to watch Christmas horror movies and Die Hard. Lots of Die Hard.
Yes.
Everyone go watch Die Hard.
All the Die Hard.
Okay. All the Die Hard. All of it. Okay. Also, I'm working on our website. It's like weird right now. I apologize. We're revamping it, and I haven't had much time to play around with it. But we will get that up and running in a way that's familiar to you soon. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. We don't have their contact information on our new website yet, but it'll be up there soon. Also, I will be ordering stickers soon. I say that every week.
It's going to happen.
It's like part of my new closeout ritual, talking about stickers that don't exist. We are finally have enough stars on iTunes that we show up as a 5-star podcast. So woo! Super excited about that. Leave us some good reviews. We love that. That's awesome. Thanks to everyone who's done that. And if you haven't, feel free to do so. We would love it, and we will send you some stuff. Some swag when we have it.
Some swag.
Okay, so that's it for today. Thanks for joining us, guys. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Have a nice night, lovelies.
Bye. We'll be right back.